WPFW, Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine with
John Boehner. Garland Nixon.
We're going to get to John Boehner in a second. And
if that was John Boehner, we'd be in a brawl right now, I want to tell you. I'm Terry D. Kessler, and I'm taking John Boehner to the wall.
You're not rich enough for tax cuts.
You know what? In a weird way, I actually feel sorry for John Boehner because he's being held by the private parts by several members of
the
his party.
The short curlies.
Somebody in Congress has cojones?
They're all in hock. They've sold them to various corporations. This is the Raucous Caucus, and we are right here in studio at 89.3 FM, WPFW. We will, I'm not sure, we'll be back at Ben's next week.
I don't think we'll.
Not clear.
I think so.
It's not clear.
Okay, well, we got an email.
You guys didn't get a Christmas gift this year?
It wasn't clear. So, we're gonna try to do that. We'll announce that, before we know. Next week. But it seems to me that with this, guess what, gentlemen? That Congress seems to be a mess again.
Get out of here, think.
So let's get clear what happened.
Not all
here.
Of it. Not all of it.
Let's see what happened here. So President Obama has been tried for several months to get the American Jobs Act forward.
Socialism.
The Republicans rejected every aspect of it. So he said, well, here's the part that I know Republicans will agree on, right? A tax cut. Let's cut taxes on 99.75% of Americans, all of those that earn under $1 million a year, will get a tax cut. And Republicans said, no, we want to raise taxes.
Right.
On 99.75% of Americans in order to give millionaires a tax cut. And it's a fascinating question.
The Republicans, way. Come on. What's wrong with
defending
that?
Those that make more than a million a year.
Yeah,
And Democrats defend that are 99.75% of us. Now, I'm not sure when millionaires got a million votes each, but that's clearly the Republican constituency. So, okay. So, Obama, the Senate votes, and the majority of the Senate votes to pass a payroll tax cut from where we are now, from 4.2% down to 3.2%, to pay for it by a less than 2% increase on those making more than $1 million a year. The majority of Senate votes for it. Republicans filibuster it. They're not going to allow that to happen. So then it comes to the House. The House will not vote on whether or not to give middle-class Americans a tax cut because, let's face it, they don't want to look bad when the Democrats all vote for it. So they said, I'll tell you what. We'll vote for it if you agree to various pork that we want, specifically for a Canadian company. We want to give pork not to an American corporation,
but
to TransCanada, so they can build an environmentally fraught pipeline.
It's the American way. I don't see the problem here. This is America. This is what we do.
We need to help Canada, a Canadian company.
Well, no, we're helping BP, Shell, Exxon, Chevron.
We need to help a multinational Canadian company pollute the air because they're going to use tar sands, which one scientist says if the tar sands gets burnt, we can say goodbye to any hopes of fixing global warming.
And that even doesn't compare to fracking, but anyway.
And they're going to get that pipeline.
If you're going to blow up the ozone layer, do it right. You know why? Piddle around with the little stuff. Just finish it all off and be done with it, I say.
Yeah. President Obama said, hey, look, I'll look at the pipeline. I won't rule it out. We'll go through the normal process, the 1 year of environmental concerns where everyone can get in and see what the problem is, and then I'll make the decision. The Republicans said, no, screw the law, overrule it, we want our pork right away, or we're going to raise taxes on 99.75% of Americans. Okay, so that was the House's decision.
You see, they're working towards slavery, and this is how they do that.
Then it was the Senate's turn, okay? And so the Senate, the Democrats, who had passed this bill. Like I said, the majority of the Senate passed it. Worked with the Senate Republicans, and they said, look, we can't agree right now on how to pay for it. The Democrats want to raise taxes on the millionaires. Republicans actually want to raise taxes on those who are trying to struggle to keep a home from foreclosure.
Right, that's who you
they
want
to raise taxes on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Yeah, get the taxes while you can.
Because we all know that millionaires are really struggling right now, whereas people who are trying to make the foreclosure payments, they've got oodles of cash,
and they need to just spend it all. You know how hard it is to collect taxes on people who are living in the streets?
It's tough.
I mean, it's really tough. You've got to understand their point of view.
You can't find them for one thing.
You can't find them. You go to the shelter. They move around. How do you get your taxes?
There are sales taxes.
They drop dead on you in the freezing cold.
Yeah, they do. They lose their children, you know, because they can't feed them and the kids can't go to school. How do you get taxes from these
people? You send the children to China and have them work in the
factories.
Wait
a minute. No. Hey, Newt's already came up with a plan.
Oh, that's true.
Janitors. Clean our schools. They can clean the private schools for the rich kids.
Yeah.
You know, that, I think
slavery.
that was the job of the kid in Les Miserables, the gamin, I think. Gavroche. He was the one that cleared up. Please, sir, may I have some more Oliver Twist? Yeah. Anyway, so the Democrats said, look, we disagree with you, but at least let's get past this. Everyone wants to go home for the holidays. We'll give 2 months extension. We'll agree that Obama has to decide on the pipeline in 60 days. He doesn't have to decide up or down, but at least he's got to decide 60 days. And Obama said, well, if I decide 60 days,
then I'm going to have to say no.
I'm going to say no, right? And we'll fund it through these extra taxes on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac at least for 2 months, and then we'll get together and we'll do a whole year. Well, today, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, after saying several times, in fact, his exact line was, I cannot be more clearer, that he was perfectly fine with the two-month extension, he just got rolled by his own members, Tea Party members, and they said, nope, we just want to raise taxes.
Well, actually, we just want to raise taxes. Here's the thing I found out, because even though, you know, if you've been paying attention, the Senate Republicans now are angry.
Of course they are. They agree.
People are mad. You're going to cost us our seat. But what's funny about it is this. It's apparent that there's a much greater good going on that the Tea Party members are dealing with here. The first and foremost, they must disagree with everything the president and the Democrats say.
Right.
And the president says, well, look, I think we should give tax cuts for everyone. Well, we can't do that because the Democrats are in favor of it. It's gotten to the point where it's clearly obvious that these the House Republican Tea Party members felt that they were sent here to disagree with anything that the people that they view as the mainstream, which includes John Boehner and the mainstream Republicans.
Right, John Boehner's a communist socialist, Kenyan Muslim, apparently.
That's just a lousy excuse. I mean, you've got to admit, it's a lousy...
He's an Indonesian Muslim.
There aren't enough Tea Party members that if Democrats and Republicans really wanted to do
something,
they could do it.
There's the rub.
Yeah, they just have the excuse. We don't really want to do it, so we'll let the Tea Partiers have their way.
Here's the thing, Terry. So, on the first vote, the one that the majority of the Senate voted on, the one to basically fund the tax cut for a year, pay for it, 1.9%. By the way, do you know the number of Americans that actually file a tax return that's worth more than $1 million a year? Of all total taxpayers, remember, not everyone pays, of those that pay federal income tax, it's a quarter of 1%. According to the latest IRS data.
And those are the ones we got to look out for.
So, first and foremost. So it's not the top one. It's not 99%. It's 99.75% of taxpayers are about 99.9% of Americans.
The people that we refer to as the moochers.
The 99.99%.
Yeah, they're the moochers.
All right. So here's to answer your question, Terry. You're absolutely right that a majority of people in the House.
If I'm right, why do you have to answer my question?
Well, because I'm explaining.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking there. Just checking. I was confused.
All you have to do is add the Democrats in the House.
Yeah.
And if there were a vote on whether to extend this payroll tax cut, there are enough Republicans that would jump ship, join with the Democrats, as you say, and probably pass close to two-thirds.
Yeah.
However,
the way the House works, the way they operate is that there will not be a bill unless John Boehner wants there to be a bill. And he won't have a bill unless sufficient members of his caucus support the bill. So even if 40% of Republicans and 100% of Democrats support a bill, that's not enough for John Boehner.
It will never come to vote.
In fact, he said it would be enough. He supported it, and then he got whacked in the back alley.
I mean, but you explained it, but we can't believe this. This is the kind of tactic you do. You create these bogus straw dogs or whatever to create the problem and say that's why we can't go ahead. And it's all BS. I wish I could really say that wonderful word, because that's what it
is.
From Boehner's
point of view,
here's what
I find so interesting.
From the Democrats' point of view.
I said on this station and every other TV and radio station that I've ever appeared on that if the Republicans win the House in 2010, mm-hmm. Congress will do nothing for mm-hmm. the next 2 years. I said it's gridlock, and the Republicans said, no, we'll blah, blah, blah. No, and of course, I was right. Nothing will happen in Congress.
You were impressed between 2008 and 2010?
A lot more got accomplished than between 2010 and 2011.
Okay.
Don't ask, don't tell. Okay. Well, look at the last 6 years.
Don't ask, tell. The Dodd-Frank bill, the health care bill, they were imperfect, but they were far better than nothing, Terry. The Lilly Ledbetter Act. There's a whole bunch of things that got done in the first 2 years. The stimulus package.
And all of them were imperfect. And that's why we
But all of them were better than nothing.
We're going to get to that.
The heart of my question today, gentlemen, is President Obama doing a better job? 6 months ago, I came on here on the Raucous Caucus, and I announced an Obama intervention. I even put it up on Facebook because I said President Obama.
He was the one.
I was. It was. It was. We agreed to it.
It was a we movement.
Fine.
Oh,
that's right. We, the Raucous Caucus, supported an Obama intervention.
We don't do anything unless it's in harmony with
Terry,
each other, right?
I don't know that we're always in harmony.
I Terry.
Think we're facing a coup here.
No.
Mutiny.
Keep an eye on that guy.
We had an Obama intervention, and because we said that he compromises too much with the Republicans, whether it was the shutting down the government threat or the lifting the debt limit threat, all those things we said he keeps compromising too much for Republicans. That's why he was losing in the polls. That's why he was losing not just Democratic support, but independent support as well. And we said in our wonderful intervention when we brought him in and sat him down and said, Mr. President, you know, we love you and we're concerned and we want to help you help yourself. We said, all you have to do is stand up for the principles we already know you believe in, the progressive principles, and the American people support those principles, and they'll follow you. And I am proud to say, in my humble opinion, that in the last 6 months, President Obama has done a much better job sticking up for progressive principles, that he's done a much better job in supporting the American Jobs Act and supporting the payroll tax cut. And polls today show that his approval rating is the highest it's been, except for the short spike when we killed Osama bin Laden. Other than that, they're the highest they've been in 2011. The Republicans have the lowest approval rating. What President Obama has done is he's shown the Republicans for what they are, a party that only cares about super rich people. And while the Democrats are imperfect, he made it clear they're far better than the Republicans. I condemned Obama 6 months ago. I'm here to praise him now.
Oh, you fickle thing, you.
He's done a better job. I give the guy credit.
Boy, I'm glad I don't date you, I'll tell you.
There's someone else who might agree with you, but that's a different story.
We won't go there. Who brought that up? Anyway.
I give the president credit where it's due. He's in a much better place than he was 6 months ago.
Have you seen any of his interviews?
Sure.
Recently, it was a recent interview. It was a 60 Minutes, or I don't know what it was, but one of the interviews I saw, you know, and, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, you probably knew I wouldn't quite agree with you. Because
you think Harry disagreed with Mark?
I suspected that.
I never saw that coming.
No, me neither. It surprised me, in fact. You know, but what I see, you know, one of the things he does in his interviews, which is, again, a lack of leadership and understanding what leadership is he tries to explain himself. Which is a very interesting tactic, but has nothing to do with leadership. You know, leaders don't really spend a lot of time explaining who they are and why they are. And, you know, I think he's doing a better job of campaigning when he has the cojones, Mr. President, to do one veto, or to reverse some of the incredible...
Terry, we're about to go to Christmas without a payroll tax cut because of Republican obstinance and Obama not giving in to everything they wanted. So I think that shows some cojones, doesn't it?
Yeah, and also...
No, because they'll pass it at the last minute for whatever, and he won't veto it
You think so?
No matter what pork is attacked. I guarantee that's what he's done every time.
Hold on, you think it's going to happen?
Right, yeah, and here's
we only got
I
3 days before Christmas.
And here's the thing about it. I think
I haven't shopped.
Terry brings up a very valid concern, and that is we've been down this road before, and I understand his concern. We've been down this road before with the president, and he said, I'm going to stand tall, and he's caved on some things that we were unhappy with. Okay.
He's not caving this time, I tell you.
So I think here, Terry,
yes?
I think we can look at this situation, and we can say, let's see what happens here. Does he cave? If he doesn't, if he's kind of stands his ground
here, he'll cave this time.
Then we can legitimately say, okay, we'll give the guy credit. Now, part of it may be this. This is a possibility. I'm going to throw it out there.
Not political.
I'm going to throw this out there. It could it some of it be, let's face it, if you haven't learned who the Republican Party is by now, you got to be kind of blind. Part of it may be, you know, I try to work with Terry every single day, and I walk up and say, Terry, can we work together? And he punches me in the nose.
Oh,
after,
no.
After six or seven days, I got to recognize maybe he ain't going to work with me.
That's why you sit at arm's length from him whenever we're in the studio.
So, Terry, isn't it possible maybe this guy stepped on a hot stove one time too many, and he's recognized, you know what, these
you
guys
know what?
Ain't gonna
I mean,
work
you know,
with me.
To go back to our original analogy, at, you know, our intervention with him, and you know, having had some experience with intervention, I mean, the main thing you got to have with intervention is you got to have frank honesty. You really do.
We were pretty harsh on Obama 6 months ago.
I know, we were.
That's who does the intervention.
Yeah, but that's not the person.
The receiver of the intervention, we don't know until months later.
You know, if they're living in denial, it ain't going to do you any good. You're not going to get anywhere anyway. You know, but
I could stop caving to the Republicans anytime I wanted to.
I can.
For God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think, you know,
all I need is a lot of black coffee.
Yeah, I kind of still feel that, you know, Obama switched from, you know, rot gut to mad dog.
You don't see any change in the last 6 months,
I see.
Can we give a little credit to the President of the United States, please, Terry?
I see change in one direction, and that is in his campaigning. And that's what it is.
But that campaigning matters, because what it does is it sets up the issues for the American people to decide. Because back in 2010, when they voted for the Republicans, there were Americans who thought that actually the Republicans were trying to help the economy.
Yeah.
And what they've learned is that the Republicans are out there to help the millionaires and multinational corporations. I don't think the average middle-of-the-road, not progressive, moderate, independent American necessarily knew that, but they're learning that today.
You know, but the silly thing is, I mean, like, even I heard part of the debate on the floor today with the House, you know, which before I was forced to drive off the road and kick my radio to shreds, you know. I heard a little bit of it, and not even the Democrats had the guts to say what we're saying now is you're asking us to pass this bill, and you've got this, you know, pipeline thing attached to it, which has nothing to do with it. They weren't even bringing that up. They were arguing about 2 months versus a year, you know, and Obama hasn't even had the guts to say that. He said, look, why would I pass a bill that's got this stupid pipeline
well,
thing
listen,
attached
Terry,
to it?
Terry, here, listen, President Obama listened to us 6 months ago, at least I think he did. President Obama, I know you listen every Tuesday to the Raucous Caucus at 7 p.m.
Does he take notes?
On WPFW, 89.3 FM.
Course.
I know you have radios in the White House, and I know you listen. So, President Obama, you don't have to give me or Terry or Garland any credit, but here's what you need to do, okay? Just between us, all right? Listen up, Mr. President. Here's what you need to do. You need
Michelle,
to,
too. Michelle, pay attention.
Michelle doesn't need to do this. You need to go on television. Tonight would be best. I'll accept tomorrow.
Yeah.
You go on television. 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. You give a speech to the American people, and here's what you say. The fighting in Congress has to stop. Congress is dysfunctional. We have gridlock. There's an easy answer. The Republicans say they want this payroll tax cut. I know my part of the Democrats want the payroll tax cut, and I guarantee you I'm the one who wants a payroll tax cut. Guess what? I first proposed it. And I want it done for a year. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the Senate and the House back in session. I want a bill solely on the payroll tax cut. If you want to add unemployment too, I'm fine with it. Solely on that, no extraneous issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
John
Boehner,
I lay down the garland. Are you willing to do this with no extraneous issues, or do you want pork for some multinational corporation up in Canada?
I'm going to change one thing.
Which do you want? I'll tell you, I'm going to write the bill myself. I'm going to write the bill. It's very simple. It's going to be 4 pages long or 2 pages. Payroll tax cut for everybody, nothing more. And here, I want every Democrat, I'm going to persuade my party to get on board. Everybody who will sign this bill, Democrat or Republican, you mark your names right here. And the American people will know who wants the tax cut and who doesn't. John Boehner, your move.
And I think
support that speech?
Yeah, but there's one part that I would change. I'll tell you why.
All right.
Because there is a premise that Congress is dysfunctional, which is not true.
I know.
And
I'll tell you why
it's not true.
Yeah, but that appeals to independence when you say that.
It's the both sides argument. You know, it's like if somebody's, you know, sitting there and they're a person who's disabled and they're a quadriplegic, and I walk over and I slap them in the face 10 times, and somebody says, look, both sides, you guys got to quit fighting. That's what's going on. Right now,
I know.
The Senate passed it. The Democratic Republicans, the Democrats in the...
Democratic Republicans.
The Democrats in the
Thomas
House.
Thomas Jefferson did something?
There is but one group who keeps holding things up. There
right.
is one group that is paralyzing our entire governmental process. And I think it benefits the far right.
The House
for
Tea Party
us
Republicans.
To continue to condemn the Congress as a whole for being paralyzed when, in fact, since 2010, when a particular group got in, they deliberately paralyzed it. So I would change that, Mark. And I think, and let me say this, the president has been doing a good job of this. He's been saying, this them, those guys, the Republican Party is doing it. He's because before he bought into a lot of this stuff. So I think he's got to go after them.
The question
them.
Is whether an independents, if they saw him point the fingers at the Republicans, would say, all right, this is just partisan back and forth.
I think it benefits them.
But maybe he doesn't have to say what the problem is. Simply say, here's the bill.
But you know
what? Payroll tax cut.
But you know
nothing extraneous.
You know what's sad about this? And this is truly sad.
Pretty much everything's sad about it.
And to me, you know, it does show that it is dysfunctional. I disagree with you entirely. Because it avoids the one issue, it avoids all the issues that are really important. It's a nice little game to say we're going to give everybody $1,000 for a year because of a little tax roll cut. Forgetting the fact, some people point it out, but not often. You're robbing Social Security.
No. Hold on. I got to interrupt you, Terry.
You interrupt me?
I have to interrupt you because that is actually one of the arguments Republicans are making. It happens not to be true. And I want everyone to go to whitehouse.gov and look and see the President's Americans Jobs Act. He makes it very, very clear that the money, it will be replaced in the Social Security Trust Fund by the General Fund. He's going to do the exact same thing that Bill Clinton did back when we had a surplus. All right? He's going to take money from the General Fund and put it doesn't matter. Look, the point is it won't come out of Social Security. Now, the Democrats...
It comes immediately out of Social Security.
No, it doesn't.
And you're saying it's going to be replaced later.
No, it's replaced today.
Immediately.
That's what the bill does.
Yeah,
so,
it does.
So the Democrats would pay for it by a 1.9% increase on those that make more than $1 million a year. That's how the Democrats would pay for it.
That'll never pass.
The Republicans... want to pay for it.
Originally, they wanted to cut 20% of the federal government or something.
They wanted to pay for it. They had, I think they wanted to fire all federal workers or something.
20% or something crazy like that.
Neither
one of those is going to pass.
They really didn't offer how to pay for it.
So you're not going to get the funds to replenish it?
No, the funds come from the general fund.
Right.
And the question is, how do you replace the general fund?
It already
fund?
Passed the Senate, didn't
and
it?
And the answer is...
It already passed the Senate.
It passed the Senate for 2 months.
Yeah.
That was the 89-10 vote. So Social Security won't be harmed either way. The question is whether it will add to the deficit or not. The Democrats say tax the millionaires. The Republicans say, they don't really have an answer.
Never tax
the millionaires.
Bush tax cuts and the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War were all done without paying for it. I don't see why it's very, very small. It's much, much smaller than either of those wars or the Bush tax
cuts.
You're
telling me we're not just plain Rob Peter to pay Paul. Isn't that the game?
I'm telling you,
a shell game?
I'm telling you.
And once again, we're not facing the big issues that really dominate the whole structure of the country, the systemic issues that are, in fact, eating this country alive.
Which ones? You're sounding awfully like a Republican.
I'm sounding like a revolutionary
I will say this, though. Here's the thing about it. You can't solve all the problems at one time. You can only address. There's some major problems that we have discussed many times that we are all well aware of. And the reality is you can't solve them all with this bill.
I'm fine with either taxing the millionaires or increasing the deficit. I'm fine either way.
Tax Terry and all the other millionaires.
I say tax the millionaires. If the Republicans disagree, then fine. Increase the deficit. And in the scheme of things, it's a fairly minor increase of the deficit. And what I'll tell you what it does do, according to the nation's economy, it affects the gross domestic product, the rate of growth of the nation's economy, 0.75%. Now, that may not sound like a lot to you, but the difference between 2%, which is what the economists call anemic or weak growth, and 3%, which is what they call vigorous growth, that's a big difference. That's the difference between hanging on and dramatically reducing unemployment. So, you know what? I'm okay.
I'm fine with the millionaires paying for it,
but I'm also okay with increasing the deficit for one more year just until we get out of this recession. I'm fine with it.
And you think everything else is going to fall in place and we're going to increase employment? And we're going to...
It would increase employment, absolutely. With a payroll tax cut, of course it would. It would increase consumer demand. People would have more money to buy Christmas presents.
If you look at the worldwide situation, it's been pointed out very clearly in terms of Greece and I think Ireland as well and some other countries that are suffering.
Italy, Spain.
I'm not comparing them all, but they're talking about their overall economy, and what they're talking about is... it's fine, well, and good to have all these austerity programs and everything else, but what they really need and they don't have is growth.
Right.
And the payroll tax can lead to growth. And that growth is not just economic growth. That growth, it's primarily economic, but it's in terms of, what services can you provide? What industries can you develop? What kind of infrastructure can you create that will create jobs, that will create growth? It's not just as simple as everybody going to Walmart and buying another large screen TV. That isn't true growth.
I think it is.
Particularly if they do it on credit.
I prefer they bought a TV made in America.
Yeah.
I realize
but
most of them are made in...
You know,
China.
Nothing is being done to stimulate real growth in this country, real growth being in infrastructure or whatever.
Terry, that's where the American Jobs Act specifically spends
a
huge amount on infrastructure.
I know, but the American Jobs Act is dead.
It's dead because the Republicans stopped it.
Yeah.
But you can't complain about the president, which is where we started this.
Well,
He put forward a good plan, and just because pieces of it aren't being approved.
Didn't we just agree that there are enough Republicans and Democrats that if they weren't all kowtowing deliberately to the Tea Party that they could get together?
No, we didn't agree on that. The Democrats aren't. Basically, John, the Republican caucus there is the majority.
Yeah, I know,
caucus
but we're
is.
Still saying there's enough Republicans that they
yes,
could have
yeah.
passed it
but
if they really wanted
to. The way
the
House operates is only the Speaker of the House gets to decide what goes to the floor. So unless and until the Democrats take control of the House, which I hope they will November 2012, they can't pass this kind of stuff.
Because they can't vote on it.
That's right. Because they're not allowed. Because if there were a vote held, it would pass. And that's why Boehner won't hold a vote
on it. And there aren't enough Republicans to demand that?
Because Republicans don't. The majority of Republicans want the economy to be bad because they want America to fail because that would make Obama fail.
And keep in mind, if John Boehner were to say, look, even though the majority of my caucus here doesn't want to do it, I'm going to bring it to another day. I was going to say, I'm going to bring it anyway. And he brought it, and they voted, and it passed. He'd be out of a job. Eric Cantor would be the guy.
I'm laughing on the outside, guys, but I'm crying on the inside.
That's the way it works.
That's the way it works. And if that doesn't describe a dysfunctional parliament or House organization,
that is why the control of the House is so important. That is why in 2010 we said, don't let the Republicans take the House, or this kind of BS will happen.
Yep.
It did happen, I don't want to hear anybody complain who didn't vote in November 2010.
Wait a minute. When you're telling me
outside of D.C. where they're on the right to vote.
If there's not Democrats, if the Democrats took back the House, that we wouldn't have the same dysfunctionality in terms of...
I'm saying that.
We still have the filibuster in the Senate.
Yeah.
But we still have the same process. But we would not have the same dysfunctionality.
That's why the first 2 years of the Obama presidency...
Do you think the process works?
No, I didn't say it works or didn't work.
It would be the same process.
Right?
We did get things accomplished in the first 2 years of Obama's presidency that we haven't gotten accomplished in the third year. I know you don't think those two years were good enough, Terry, but you can't pretend.
I've seen a lot of progress.
You can't pretend that those 2 years didn't happen.
Goldman Sachs is really hurting. Yeah.
Let's talk about what happened in those 2 years. We did get a stimulus package. We did get the Dodd-Frank bill, which stops the too big to fail. We did get a health care bill.
Stop too big to fail. They're bigger than they ever were.
Because the Republicans refused to allow the people to be appointed to run the stuff that they...
And the point was that
we are far better off and the Congress operated better when the Democrats were in charge than it does now. It's hard to say that it doesn't. The government has been frozen.
They've done nothing for a whole year.
Since the Republicans took over, it has been absolutely frozen.
Let me give you a metal floor here to use your wonderful word.
A metal floor?
If you're starving...
Our steel industry is dying. How are we going to create a metal floor?
Right. If you're starving and I offer you a sandwich because you're starving... And Mark, who's opposed to my giving you a sandwich, steals the cheese, the bread, and the meat. What has been accomplished?
He got bread!
Are you kidding?
Bread is better than no bread!
I'll take the bread.
No, I said he got the bread, too. The bread, the meat, the cheese. You know, maybe a piece of lettuce is left.
Lettuce is better than nothing.
It's not, because you're not going to get enough nutrition to live. You're still going to starve to death. Sorry.
Maybe I'll get another hour. A little water, moisture there, and some fiber. Fiber's good for you.
After the break, I'm going to open this up to callers at 202-588-0893. I believe that the first 2 years of the Obama presidency, he accomplished more than in this third year when the Republicans are in charge of the House. I also believe that President Obama is doing much better in the last 6 months than he did even in the first 2.5 years in terms of taking it to the Republicans, saying what he stands for, not compromising as much, and making clear to the American. And I think that's why his approval ratings go up. But I'll see what our listeners
think. And further, the other thing is this, because people always attack, even when the president does something good, people say, well, his intent wasn't good. You know, the right usually says, well, he did that, and it was, somebody says, it was wonderful. When you can't deny it was good, people say, but he did it for the wrong reasons. Which, here's the bottom line in politics. With Garland Nixon, I don't care why people do anything. I don't care if Barack Obama is doing things that I like, and he's only doing them for campaign purposes, right? I don't care about intentions.
As long as he gets it done.
I only care about the results that if a president does the good things for the wrong reason for four straight years, I'm all right. I'm better off than if he did the wrong things for the right reason.
But if the right if those things are done and they don't have any true substance or effect on what's happening, you know, it's meaningless.
I would agree with Terry, but
you know,
that is. I would simply say that's
not
the case.
For example, the stimulus package.
Oh, we got to get out the phone number.
Stop the economy from going off a cliff. 588-0893 will get your point of view. Feel free, of course, to agree or disagree with any one of the three
particularly
of us.
Disagree
especially
with Terry.
Terry.
Yeah.
But whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
We will take your call.
202-588-0893.
The Raucous Caucus will be back after this.
As the occupation movements in D.C. continue at both Freedom Plaza on 14th and Pennsylvania Avenue and McPherson Square at 15th and K Street, numerous teach-ins, general assemblies, and direct actions are regularly held at both sites to build for a more just and sustainable world. For more information about the various events or how you can get involved, visit October2011.org and OccupyDC.org.
Move your money from the big corporate banks to smaller community banks and credit unions. Hit Wall Street where it hurts. For more information, visit moveyourmoneyproject.org. That's moveyourmoneyproject.org. WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, serving the collective need and imagination of the community.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine with
Terry DeKester, the peacemaker.
And
Garland Nixon, the peace ruiner. How's that?
I'm just ruining Terry's peace. I was just telling Garland and Terry in the break, and we do actually calm down a tiny bit in the break, that I would think that our conversation probably represents some of you folks' holiday dinner conversations. You know, the ones where your all family gets together.
And you have acid indigestion
and
for a week.
You've eaten the big meal after Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever it is, and then you just sit there and, you know, the uncle gets into it with your cousin and they're just going at it. Well, that's
next
what
thing
we...
you know, somebody gets hit over the head with a turkey drum and it's all downhill.
Well, we tried to replicate that for you. That way you're prepared when the holidays come.
Because our families won't let us eat with them anymore.
You are ready with your arguments. You mean, well, I heard on the Raucous Caucus, Mark Levine clearly had the right answer to this problem.
I never heard that.
Was way wrong.
In fact, people will be arguing over what the Raucous Caucus said last Tuesday's show.
There you go.
All day Christmas.
Well, we will find out soon from our listeners.
And feel free to invite us to your holiday dinner.
That's right.
202-588-0893. We'll find out whether you agree with any of us or none of us, which is perfectly fine.
Jennifer Aniston is on.
No, I think it's just Jen. Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jen. Who's right?
All of you and none of you.
Uh-oh.
She sounds like me.
We had a teacher like that.
I have 2 points, and then I'll let you guys go. But my first point is I'm a former Republican.
Recovering.
She's former.
We like recovering Republicans.
Okay. I sold my house in Herndon in 2004 and moved to the battleground of Florida to work on stopping Bush and Cheney.
Wow.
How's that going?
Those people down there, let me just tell you, completely uneducated and unevolved.
I hear you.
Mm. Okay,
so tell us the two things that were...
50% of the kids that went to public school, and it's probably higher now, were considered homeless.
Wow.
And only 30% would graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. 14% had some college, but not degrees. It was breathtaking.
Mm, yeah,
but I wanted to say that I support President Obama, not 100% thrilled with everything that has or has not happened under his watch, but it's a hell of a lot better than where we were.
None of us are 100% supportive.
And with the grace of God and the courage of the Democrats and some Republicans, my son, who was in a really bad car accident last year, has health care under my employer.
Oh, that's great.
For that.
See, Terry, there's a difference.
I also think that Americans need to focus on the real reality, and that's auditing the Fed. The Federal Reserve on December 5th in 2008 gave $1.2 trillion to banks. Mm-hmm. They were only supposed to give $700 billion under TARP. but they actually lent $7.7 trillion, which represents half of the GDP of this country in goods and services in 1 year.
Yeah. Now, of course, what they did is they allowed that amount to be lent, although they only ended up lending $1.2
trillion. But Jen brings up a very good point.
But you're concerned about the Federal Reserve. What was the second point? And then we'll take it.
Well, the second point is, you know, John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, please go away, Mitch McConnell, all ran on jobs. They're going to create jobs. But yet the only jobs that they seem to be working on are their own.
Yep, that's certainly true. Yeah.
Thank you, Jen,
for your
call.
Great. I think we all agree with you on the second point. On the first point, go ahead, Terry.
Big thing, I mean, that she mentions, and this is something that really concerns me about Obama and the administration and the whole damn system, you know, is, again, the Fed is not audited. Basically, what it does is in secret. If you've been following the news at all, you know, I mean, the use of drones is in total secret. You know, there are so many things going on in the Obama administration that are just as secret or even more secret than the Bush administration. And this secrecy, to me, is really indicative of why I am still very worried, not only about the entire system, but about this particular president.
I'll throw this out. You know, here's the reality of it. If you can go back to the Clinton administration and the Nixon administration and any administration, the only difference is now we know a few more secrets than we did. We were rubbing out dictators and things like that.
When you've got something against international law, I mean, you know, this is huge.
What's going on under this administration is so much when it comes to the secrecy and the black ops and all the things they do. I think presidents have been doing that.
In terms of, for example, the drones, which you bring up, I think we know what they're doing, and I think most Americans support
what they're doing.
Frankly, I prefer a few drones than a number of men and women on the ground.
We don't have any idea what they're doing because there is no way that anybody is allowed to find out what they're doing. The Red Cross isn't allowed.
It's called top secret.
When they hit somebody, we know it, Terry.
No, we don't. Are you kidding?
When we take out somebody.
You know maybe five.
We find out about it.
Read the papers. You know five or six people that have been hit.
Here's the thing, Terry.
There are hundreds of people that have been hit, not to mention collateral damage. We don't know who has been hit.
The Federal Reserve is totally
in secrecy by the CIA. It's totally in secrecy by the Defense Department.
Both the Federal Reserve and the Defense Department and the CIA are supposed to be overseen by Congress, okay? There is a House Intelligence Committee and a Senate Intelligence Committee. There are committees that oversee the Federal Reserve. They bring Ben Bernanke in, and they make him talk. And one of the reasons we found out about this information that Jen brings up is because we've got a good press that finds out about it, and we've got things like the Freedom of Information Act that finds things out about it.
It's not quite
as secret as you think. I got to tell you something. In the midst of what the Federal Reserve did, in the midst of 08, when our economy was falling off a cliff and there was a huge credit... No one's giving credit to anybody. I don't mind the Federal Reserve bailing out the banks, except that they should have attached a bunch of conditions to it, such as basically taking them over, right? If the banks are failing, then you take them over and America gets back the profits, right? You nationalize it. That's what you do in Europe. So I'm okay with saving the banking system, but the idea that you save the banking system and then funnel all this money into private hands, that's my concern.
And why aren't they audited?
They should have required that.
Well, they are being audited now. That's why we know about it. They should have required
that the money they're giving to the banks was lent to businesses, was lent to small business, was used.
And it wasn't a requirement. Rather than
a lot of the banks who get that money sit on it,
right,
and God knows they even buy federal bonds right back.
Attach strings to the money. I'm okay with saving the financial system, but they should have attached strings to it. That's the whole point.
I mean, you say President Obama accomplished something back then, and I'm saying no, he didn't, because what he did is reward the banks.
Well, first of all, this is December 08, so he was not president yet.
Continued the same process, so we didn't accomplish anything except we made the banks, through Obama's policies and Bush's policies, we did one thing: we made the big banks stronger.
But if I'm not mistaken, we were going off a cliff, and there were predictions of a 10-year depression by well-known major economists. We've had 21 straight months of growth. We can say, we don't like this or that. We have not had 21 months of growth. We were losing 800,000 jobs per month. So one thing you can't say is this. You cannot say
this is labor statistics. Yes. What are you disputing?
You cannot
this for?
Say that the U.S. economy
statistics
is
damn
not,
statistics and lies.
But the numbers don't lie. You
they
cannot
don't.
Say yes. that the U.S. economy is not in much better shape now than it was when President Obama came into office. You
no,
can't
you,
possibly
you can
say
possibly,
that.
You certainly can say that when it comes down to 99% of the people, because it's not in better shape for 99% of the people. It's better shape for the 1%.
No, it's better for everybody.
We are not losing 800,000 jobs.
We're not even keeping up with the birth rate in terms
but
of jobs.
I'm saying, but we're not losing 800,000 jobs
every month.
A
month. It gets better in
you
this payroll tax
that,
cut.
You can't
even
say
better.
That there's no difference between a month where we gain one job and a month where we lose 800,000
jobs.
There's
a big, huge difference, guys, between a temporary curable disease and a chronic disease. And we are still in a chronic disease.
But
we
are
in both. But we're in both. And
but
let me tell you something.
We're alive.
We're curing the temporary disease first because it happens to be more fatal. And then we go after the long-term chronic disease.
You got to be alive.
I think the chronic one
All
is
right.
more
fatal. 202-588-0893.
Thank heavens we have callers.
Let's hear what the callers say.
Yeah, let's straighten this mess out.
I'll tell you. Get on the phone
AJ,
here, AJ.
Thank you for being brave enough to join the raucosity of the Raucous Caucus.
Well, thank you for opening up the phone lines. I can't say that my personality is as raucous as Raucous Caucus.
We'll try to be calm and listen to you then. Yeah. Go ahead.
But I do appreciate. I want to tell you that I work for a member of Congress in the House on Capitol Hill, and there's one thing I agree with very strongly that somebody said, and that is that the idea that Congress is dysfunctional is really part of the political rhetoric that the conservative side floats and hopes will stick, because if people are disengaged in government, it makes them inattentive, and that creates a vacuum that they can fill with the policies that they are interested in pushing. And,
I hear you, AJ, but let me ask you this. How is it that the Democrats can make clear, because the Democrats, and I used to work for a member of Congress as well, so I
he's leaving us. How dare he retire?
Yeah, Barney Frank, who is retiring.
Please.
It seems to me that Barney and all the other Democrat members of Congress were constantly trying to point out the truth, which is what the Republicans were doing. The Republicans were trying to put forward some lies about what the Democrats were doing, and while the Democrats believe their side, the Republicans believe their side, the independents threw up their hands, said, I don't believe either of you. And how do you get past that? How do you show that what the Democrats are saying happens to be truthful and the Republicans are saying happens to be false? How do you prove that to the people in the middle? What do you think?
Well, what I do think that the Democrats do not communicate clearly, effectively in ways that they could, because I think a lot of their positions people would support if they understood them better. And I think the Republicans do message better. Also, you know, they aren't tied to the facts. So,
I agree with you.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier to do messaging.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Well said. Well said.
The unicorns took our money.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
What I really want to tell you that is also a part of what the House rejected today.
Okay.
Is unemployment insurance extension.
Right.
Yep.
As well as cut to physicians' reimbursement.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. The doc fix, they call it.
Right. And so what really the House Republicans are doing and what they believe is true is that the relationship that people have to government should change.
Mm-hmm. They don't want people to have a relationship.
They want to get rid of all these programs.
Right.
They want to get rid of Medicaid. They want to get. They don't believe in unemployment insurance.
Right.
They don't believe in, you know, a payroll tax cut, and they believe in protecting the rich and allowing private interests to take over all of these.
They don't even believe in Social Security.
No, they
don't believe in Social Security. They don't believe in.
So why AJ isn't our president saying exactly what you're saying? You're there. You're working in Congress. You can say it. You understand it. Why isn't our president saying exactly what you said?
I think he kind of is, Terry.
I think he's
beating around the bush.
Well, let me ask AJ.
I want AJ to be the speechwriter.
AJ, do you think President Obama is making this case well enough? And if not, what should he be doing?
Personally, I don't think the White House makes the case well enough. I don't think the Democratic leadership often makes the case well enough. But I
why
think
not?
In terms of the, I think they are concerned about compromise and negotiation. So they feel if they vilify the people they have to compromise with, then it creates, you know, it makes it more difficult to compromise.
But the Republicans have no such feelings. They are fine with vilification and not trying to compromise. Why is it always a one-way street?
I agree.
But yeah, but AJ proved it. I mean, what AJ just said was not vilifying at all. But it was very clear. It was very concise. It was very specific.
When President Obama is at his best, he says things like that. Yeah. Now, he isn't always at his best. But he gave a great speech in Kansas, his Teddy Roosevelt speech, where I thought he made that pretty clear.
And, you know, she made a very good point that I like. And
AJ for president.
Yeah, incidentally,
yeah, we love you, AJ.
I was the one that was making the argument that it's not both sides. But at any rate, she made a point, a very powerful point that was kind of subtle. And she said, when she mentioned the Republicans, we always talk about how well they communicate when she said because they're not tied to facts.
That's right.
Well, that was subtle, but it's such a reality that people get frustrated and they don't understand. The Republicans will say whatever.
There
say,
is no global warming.
Right. And then every human being or every scientist from here to the sun
Obama's
can prove
a Kenyan Muslim.
And the next day, when all of the facts are put before them and they look at them and they'll say the same thing. And people say, what about all the facts? The reality is this. They're not tied to facts. They didn't say it because it was true in the first place.
Who was the member of Congress who got caught saying something like, I think he said that Planned Parenthood, like 90% of what they do is abortions.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they showed him the absolute fact that it was like 3% of what they do, he said, well, I didn't mean that statement to be factual.
Right.
I forgot who that was.
But
I remember he was Republican.
Finally, absolutely honest. It was.
I didn't mean to be factual when I said that.
We mistake what they do, which is making statements for effect, not for communication. We mistake that as good communication skills. It's not. It's good marketing skills. The Republicans are good at marketing. They're not concerned with communication. They're going to say something because it's a means to an end. If I can convince people of this, they'll think this. And they don't care whether it's true or not. So the reality is the Democrats are never, the left is never going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to try to communicate.
Damn truth.
Right.
They're like
going to
handcuffs.
They're going to try to communicate their message, believing that if they communicate the message well enough, that people will be on their side. The Republicans are going to say anything they need to do, figuring if we can convince people that the sky is purple, they'll think they'll do what we want to do.
I think you're being oversimplistic in that because, I mean, it has become
the sky isn't purple?
It has become so bipartisan that
it's
I think that the Democrats are basically doing the same thing, which is each side tells half-truths. A little bit of truth is always in whatever they say, but they don't draw you the whole picture. Let me give you a quick little example. You think, you know, that Obama's more environmental inclined, et cetera, and that he's, you know, possibly against the oil pipeline and all of that and so on and so forth. The reality is that you've seen, this is going to sound a little strange, but this is true, and this is something I learned from Greg Palast. You know, you'll see these new Coke cans that are pure white that are supposedly going to help the polar bears. The polar bears, we love polar bears.
0.0002% goes to the polar bear.
Yeah, yeah, but they're going to help the polar bears because the polar bears are going to be, quote, moved to a sanctuary. Now, we don't know exactly where that sanctuary is.
What?
Because the
Arctic Circle. Coca-Cola's moving polar bears to a sanctuary?
Yes, they're helping to fund that because we're going to be kind and we're going to be good. The reality is Shell Oil just got permission to drill in the Arctic Circle from the Obama administration. They know that the caps are melting very rapidly, and they know that there's oil under there, and Obama and nobody else is going to stop them from drilling there. And the ice caps are going to disappear in a very short time as we pump more oil out of
bad
which
news.
Is one of the reasons
anyway.
Which is one of the reasons we want that big pipeline which we're going to get.
That's for tar sands.
Now, you know, until people get the whole picture, neither side is telling the
truth.
Well,
I don't know about this Arctic thing, but
check it out.
202-588-0893 TESFA. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You've been patient, TESFA.
Having a genocidaire in power, being the prime minister, but he's also the president. He's the dictator and he's everything in Ethiopia. He is a genocidaire. I'm not making it up.
Okay, Tesla. Okay. But Ethiopia, I'm afraid, is off topic tonight. So let's go on to...
Yeah, we probably got to investigate that a little further, but yeah, it's not where we are tonight.
Let's go on to Terry. Terry, welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the contribution I'd like to make tonight to the conversation is that, in my opinion, President Barack Obama is somewhat culpable as well when you think of what's really going on. I remember when Nancy Pelosi said, impeachment is off the table.
And, with George Bush.
Yes, about George Bush. And then President Obama's response became, well, we're going to look forward. You know, no, we're not going to look backward. We're going to look forward.
Right. We're not going to prosecute Dick Cheney for treason that such he did with the Scooter Libby affair and Valerie Plame Wilson. Okay, so...
Right, and so what I want to say is that, I mean, can't the people, not business, but can't the people see that this is really an illusion, and they have those...
What is an illusion, Terry?
The political end has never been, at this, for the last 10 years, has not been with the people. It's been... It is for the corporations. I remember when, during the Reagan years, and you know, all of it's this big crisis, financial, blah blah blah. You know, then you had the SNL and all of that. But Clinton somehow was able to come in and for 8 years and leave a surplus.
Right.
Then the Republicans come in.
Right.
And under George Bush, they spend us into, you know, off the cliff.
The worst deficit. Right.
Here comes President Obama, who's trying to pull the financial status of the United States back up to zero. And then once it happens, eventually in the future, there will be another Republican group to come and spend the money down.
Well,
and
that's
to
true.
Me, when I look at it, I see the Republicans spend the money down, and it's the Democrats who have to build and save.
I tell you, it's absolutely true.
I don't like that reality.
Terry, I worked in Congress during the Bush administration. I worked for the Democrats, as I mentioned. And one of the things that I remember very, very strongly, I remember the Federal Reserve Chairman at that time, Alan Greenspan, who came and testified before Congress that he was worried that we have too big a surplus. He said that we're going to have so much money, we're going to pay off the national debt in just a few years, and we won't know where to put the money.
Uh-huh.
And he testified in favor of the Bush tax cuts because he was afraid that we have way too much money coming in when we tax the people who make over $50,000, a few more percentage. We have way too much money coming in. Dick Cheney very famously said, deficits don't matter. And my boss, Barney Frank, worked for many Democrats that said, you know what, we don't support the Iraq War, and Barney Frank never did. In fact, most Democrats in the House did not support that war. But they said, if you're going to fight that war that we don't like, tax people to pay for it. That's what you've done with every other war, America's. And the Republicans said, nope, we want it to go to the big debt. And what you find, and Terry, I couldn't agree with you more, what you find is when the Democrats are in charge, when there's a Democratic president, suddenly the Republicans become deficit hawks. They did it under Bill Clinton. When the Democrats in charge and can decide where the money goes, suddenly they say, we don't want you to have any money at all. When the Republicans are in charge, they spend like drunken sailors.
Yep.
And I think you're dead on, Terry.
And, you know, the argument's been made time and time again that there is a method to their madness, that ultimately what they want to do is exactly what's happening now. And this is, and I might add, this is one of the reasons that the common peoples worldwide are revolting. And that is because what happens is the people at the top have driven us into a financial disaster. But the way they want to fix it is austerity. We create this horrible problem. We blow everything. We drive up the deficits. We screw the economy over. And they say, we got to fix this. Oh, how are we going to do that? Well, that's easy. We'll just take away
Social Security, Medicare,
all of the social safety net for the middle class, for the working person, for the poor. In fact, the conversation has been changed so drastically that the people in power have convinced many of us, people, normal people, that the reason that we had this problem is because there's too much of a social safety net. It's Medicare. It's Social Security. It's Medicaid. They have caused these problems, and we have to fix them. And we've got these fools running around our country saying we need to cut these
Social Security has existed since the 1930s. Medicare has existed since the 1960s. I guarantee you they're not the cause of our current problem. Terry?
I just, you know, I'm still astounded because our original question, you know, has Obama, you know,
improved? And I think he has.
You know,
and I say yes.
I'm hearing what Garland just said and AJ just said, and these are perfectly rational things that you have said for the most part, you know, and our president is not making this clear. And if he can't make it clear, I mean, obviously Mr. Reid isn't enough
He's got one more year to make it clear.
You know, if he can't make it clear to the American public the charade that truly is going on that you just described, then, you know, he is not going to succeed and cannot succeed as a leader.
He has 10.5 months to make it
they're
clear.
They're blaming the victims.
And we will find out in 10.5 months.
I'm still waiting for this man to stand up.
I really am. Well, I'm looking forward to the debates, actually.
We got to have a show where we talk about the Republicans and Gingrich.
We will after Iowa and New Hampshire.
Only with respect.
All right. Sure. Let's go to our last caller, Marvin. Marvin, your cleanup here. What's your point of view?
Sorry, Garland. How y'all doing, Terry?
Wonderful.
Good. I tuned in late, and you proposed the questions that have the Obama administration improved.
Right.
Improved on what?
On anything.
I think
the Obama administration has improved on their message. I think in the last 6 months, since we had our Obama intervention 6 months ago, I think President Obama has improved on his messaging. I think he's improved on standing up for progressive principles. I think he's improved the economy.
I want to look at a couple categories real quick.
Okay.
As far as militarism, okay?
He's pulled our troops out of Iraq.
I see no different his policies with the drone attacks in Pakistan, Yemen. I mean, if George Bush was still in power and doing what he was doing, they'd call Bush a fascist. But this man has some responsibility for what he's doing too. But I'm just saying, if you look at his campaign contributors, they are a Goldman Sachs, GE. I mean, he's no different than any other president. I mean, he's getting more money from Wall Street bankers than the top eight Republican candidates.
No, that's not true.
We're looking for him.
There's something in the Washington Post. Romney's getting the most, by the way. Then Obama. Then
Romney's getting the most of the Republicans.
No. More than Obama.
The whole political system is totally just broken. It needs to be dismantled. I'm tired of hearing about Democrats, Republicans.
How do you dismantle the system? Marvin, would you say dismantle it?
None of these parties talking about what they're going to do for the American people at all. Nothing.
Well, Marvin, what?
I mean, get us out of this mess.
You say dismantle it. What are you talking about? I mean, revolution? What are you talking about?
The whole system is broken. It's,
what do we do? What's your point of view?
Elections should be publicly funded.
I agree. How do you plan to do that?
I'm sorry?
How do you plan to do that?
Are you planning to do that?
Yeah, because to publicly fund elections, you got to get something through Congress, which right now is paid off by corporate interests.
I'll tell you how to do it.
Let me quote Dick Gregory.
I mean, it's a little bit more extreme on the Republican side. Yeah, but fine. But this weakening Democratic Party is to me, this is the worst Democratic Party I've ever seen in the history of this country.
Marvin, does that mean you're not going to vote?
Okay, let me just give you a quote from Dick Gregory, and I think Marvin would agree with it. He just didn't probably want to say it on the air. Dick Gregory, after the riots in Detroit, you know, huge riots back in the 60s, Dick Gregory's Ford Motor Company, shortly after the riots, hired a whole lot more African-Americans, a whole lot more. And Dick Gregory said, you know, that's nice, but I don't believe that Ford Motor Company hired more African-Americans because they wanted to help African-Americans. I believe they hired more African-Americans because the flames got closer and closer to the Mustang plant.
Mm-hmm.
The point is we need Occupy movements to grow and grow and grow. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. You will not see reform in this country until there is real threat. And I do mean real threat to the powers that be. I don't say I like that. I don't say I want to be here when it's happening. I don't say that I even necessarily want to be a part of it. But until that happens, until you have the flames close enough to the Mustang plant, it ain't going to change.
I think our system is, and I know people disagree with me, is strong enough that we don't need violence, that we don't need riots, that we can still change it. I think that, for example,
Martin Luther King did it without violence.
He did. He did it through nonviolence, in fact.
The whole thing moved that forward. You cannot separate the violence during the Martin Luther King era from Martin Luther King. It both happened, and both had an influence. I don't like that. I think King's
influence, at the end of the day, was stronger than Malcolm X's. I think he's the... They both had a role, no question about it.
I'm not talking about Malcolm X. I'm just talking about the whole social movement, including the violence.
Or Black Power, or whatever.
All of that had to happen until society and the power structure said, we got to do something because we're scared.
Well, I'll leave it by saying this, and that is, I do
Happy
think
Christmas.
We need to, at least Stark. We need to consider that it benefits the far right as long as we buy into the fact that both sides are just as bad. Both sides are not just as bad. What the far right wing kooks are doing, it's screwing up everything. And I think they're feeling if we can screw everything up and they blame both sides,
right.
We are the most anti-government, so we win.
Let me close by saying this. I support the Occupy movement. I was out there, Occupy DC, and I frankly think they're doing a good job around the country. Sometimes they go do things that I wouldn't do in terms of excess and so forth. But at the end of the day, their message is very clear. And I think their message is getting across. And I think President Obama is starting to get that message across. I think his Kansas speech was the first step. We're going to see as we go into an election. But I would ask Marvin and everyone else who's mad at the Democrats to hold your nose, vote for the Democrats because they're a lot better than the Republicans, and then work within the Democratic Party to get more progressive candidates. Write President Obama. I myself, Terry, and Garland, we had an Obama intervention. I think we've seen some movement. Terry, I know you don't.
Not enough.